Macmillan Audio presents Infinite Detail by Tim Maughan. Narrated for you by Joe Sims. Chapter 1. After. The pathetic tinkle of the shop's bell announces their first visitor. The first believer of the day. The first of the regulars. The tired-looking mothers and lost children. The ones that come in just to catch a quick word with Mary. To thank her. To nervously leave offerings on a desk. To smile their awkward, uncomfortable smiles. The ones that just pop in. To stare at the sad, pale, distant, generic dead faces.
All right, Janet? Tyrone says.
Hello, Tyrone.
Janet flashes him a nervous smile from beneath a cowl of lank, greasy hair. Her face, gaunt pencil marks on torn grey paper, almost merging into the crowds that watch them from the walls. It's enough of a smile that he knows that she's genuinely pleased to see him, like his unprompted words to her as some kind of minor but important victory. One of the few tiny sparks of life that separate her from Mary's drawings.
Is she busy?
Janet's eyes switch anxiously around the room, her grip tightening on the oversized blue IKEA cube bag that bulges with unknown junk. Tyrone glances over at Mary. She's sitting there, as always, in the back of the shop, teenage eyes peering at him over the kaleidoscopic mass of debris that litters her desk. Cans full of pens, crayons, paintbrushes and sticks of chalk, broken toys, worthless trinkets and colourful fragments of junked history that threaten to dwarf a barely teenage frame. Gifts from believers. She smiles back at him over it all, through those heavily paint-splattered glasses of hers, lowers her eyes back down to her desk. You can't see what she's working on from here, the paper protected from view, by castle walls of priceless detritus, and in all truth, he doesn't care. He knows exactly what it is, the same thing she always draws. He knows it's the face of another dead person. Most likely, he thinks, is the face of another dead white person. They always seem to be white people. Dead white people. He's seen so many of them now that he struggles to tear them apart. College likes to joke that it's because all white people look the same, but Tyrone knows that's not true. It's something else. Perhaps how Mary always draws them. Sad, pale, distant, generic.
Or maybe that's just how dead people all look. Nah, she's just drawing.
Go say hello, innit? Mary squeezed ghosts from sticks of chalk, traces lines of memory and pastel.
Hello, Mary.
Mary looks up, over the brim of her glasses, and her heart sinks slightly from awkward discomfort as she sees Janet's nervous face looking back at her. Feels her disturbed, over-focused eyes drilling into her skull. It's not that she dislikes her. It's not that she dislikes any of the believers. Tyrone and Grids' word, not hers. It's just that unfailing intensity that puts her on edge. She doesn't blame them. When she can see past the 1,000-yard stares and the sense of odd displacement, she can see the hurt, the pain, the struggle to cope with the shock. Plus, it's her fault they're here. That they come to see her. They come because of what she does, what she is. Grids tells her she's a celebrity. He says people need celebrities, especially now. He says there used to be too many of them, but then they were all washed away with everything else. Mary's not too sure about this, not sure she wants it, but she remembers his words at those times when she wants to avoid the people like Janet, to avoid the devotional gazes and awkward exchanges, to run from the responsibility.
Morning, Janet. How you doing?
I'm okay.
There's a high-low timbre to that last word, a non-committal tone shift, fishing for concern. Mary ignores it, not wanting to get sucked in. She always tells Tyrone she likes his music, his ancient tapes, and it ain't a lie, but the real reason she lets him play at the shop all day is because it sucks the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?